guest growl, Momo. Let's go. As Chris Morales said, there is a bunch going on, including the Rams did get a new running back. We'll get to that in a second. It's about time. I still think they should add another one even on top of that. But the big news is, of course, you hear that sound, Momo? You hear it? That's
what
the sound. That's the sound of the Padres season going down the drain.
Oh, man. I watched every second of that
last
night.
So did I.
Every second, even that long at bat with Jerks and Profar, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, where he fouled off 10 pitches.
It was amazing.
But the Dodgers have now basically set up the guillotine on the Padres season. Ooh. Because they won last night, the Dodgers won 5-2. Now, tonight, Walker Buehler pitches, and tomorrow, Max Scherzer pitches. So it would be surprising if the Padres were able to get either one of these games. And last night, the guy who saved the day with his defense was A.J. Pollock. And here was the play that turned the game in the fourth inning.
High fly ball, deep left field. Pollock to the wall. It is caught! A.J. took it away! Pollock robs Machado, and the Dodgers stay in front.
That's the great Joe Davis on Sportsnet LA. And when he says, took it away, Ramona, he not only took it away from Machado, but he took it away from three different fans who had their hands out. It was one of the great pull-it-back catches of the year. If any of those people would have reached just a little farther, that would have been a home run.
Yep.
Because Pollock put his glove into the stands. And somehow, he timed the jump perfectly. He was able to concentrate. He gloved it. That preserved, at the time, a no-hitter for Julio Urias. And then Urias was able to get out of a jam in the fifth inning, and he ended up being the winning pitcher. The Dodgers won that game. And Pollock not only made that game-saving catch, but he had a two-run single later in the game. So basically, by himself, Ramona, he was plus four. He took two runs away from the Padres, and he drove in two. And it sets up a really interesting problem for the Dodgers. It's a good one to have. But think about this for a second. Mookie Betts is supposed to come back tomorrow. He's supposed to play.
Wow.
It's a 7 o'clock game tonight. That's the Walker Buehler game against Blake Snell tonight in San Diego. Tomorrow it's 6 o'clock, and Mookie Betts goes back into the lineup. I don't think, if you're the Dodgers, you can take A.J. Pollock out. He's been too good.
Yeah.
I don't think you can take Chris Taylor out. You sure as hell can't take Trey Turner out, which means when Betts comes back, the guy who's going to the bench is Cody Bellinger.
That's right.
And Cody's 2 for his last 26. He's hitting under 200. Any other year, you would allow him to work through this. He's a former Rookie of the Year, a former MVP. 2 years ago, Momo, he won the MVP. And now there's no place for him to play. I don't see another way around it. Do you?
Yeah, I don't either. And I actually think it might be good for Cody because, like, he's really pressing. I mean, every time I watch him hit, it just feels like he's really pressing. It feels like he just can't solve the issues with his swing right now. And, you know, he had that shoulder injury. This all goes back to that shoulder injury. When guys have something wrong with their shoulder, they always say it takes a full year from when you got hurt, maybe even 2 years, to get the strength back in the shoulder. He just doesn't seem like the same player since that injury. And this might be for the best for him. Just sit down and get stronger and take some time to refresh. Because it's amazing to think about that in baseball, where you can be an MVP and 2 seasons later, you're the guy who's out.
Well, and the Dodgers have to be careful how they handle it. They're probably going to have to still try and get him some at-bats.
Yep.
Because, and this gets a little complicated, but this is how it works. Corey Seager's probably going to leave. Corey Seager's agent is Scott Boras. Scott Boras always takes his clients to free agency to market. So Scott's the best agent in the business. So somebody's going to pay Corey Seager an insane amount of money. And when that happens, you can move Trey Turner to short. You could put, theoretically, Muncy at second, play Bellinger in the outfield, play Paul. I mean, next year, I'm assuming you maybe move Chris Taylor to second, have Muncy stay at first. There's going to be a spot next year. So you can't completely, for lack of a better word, alienate Bellinger. You've got to find a role for him. But it is, and by the way, Ramona, every time the Dodgers win and they've won 14 out of 16 and 10 out of 11, the Giants win. They've only made up 2.5 games in like a month.
It's unbelievable. I mean, so, last night, if they lose, they fall to 3.5 back. I mean, that just would have been like the whole game is just so tense. And I almost felt bad for the Padres on that AJ Pollock catch. Like Manny Machado delivered there. He hit a deep flat that should have been a home run. I would venture to say in any other ballpark except for San Diego on that night, the cool night in San Diego, maybe Dodger Stadium would play it like that too. But that ball is out of almost every ballpark. That should have been a 3-run home run.
And now it puts the Padres up against the wall. By the way, Ramona, the Padres have to play the Giants. There's 36 games left in the season. They have to play the Giants 10 times.
Oof.
So a third of their games are against the Giants. So if they could get their act together, they could actually help the Dodgers. But they look like a team that's just reeling.
Don't have any pitching. Like that's right. I feel bad for them because they went out and got pitching. They trade for Blake Snell. They're supposed to get Denelson Lamet back. I say Lamet or Lamet?
Lamet. Yeah.
Lamet. They're supposed to get him back. He had that elbow injury. They went and trade for Musgrove. Like they signed
Musgrove Darvish, throws a no hitter.
They trade for you Darvish. Like they went out and made some big bold moves and it just hasn't worked out for them.
And it sets up another big game tonight.
Yep.
And every time the Dodgers win. Now, the Reds are the team the Dodgers would play in the one-game playoff. They'd love to get out of the one-game playoff, but the Giants just don't lose. And that makes the series they have coming up against the Giants next week really, really big. It's at Dodger Stadium, but they may end up starting that series against the Giants and be within the margin in the standings. If that series started today, it'd be 3 games against the Giants with, you know, a 2.5-game San Francisco lead. And the last time the Giants came to town, I think the Giants took 3 out of 4. So there's a lot going on with the Dodgers. We'll get into all of it. That's one of the many, many things that are going on today. We'll cover it all. Now, Lindsay's here. Lindsay, yesterday I asked you, do you want to try and do the lie of the day? And you were going to think about it. Do you want to do it or do you want me to do it?
I'm in. I'll do it.
Okay.
All right,
so Lindsay has the lie of the day today. We are expecting Michael Thompson at some point during the show. It's Wednesday, which is Michael Thompson Day. And there's a bunch of other stuff going on. We've all been texting each other all morning because there's all these weird stories going on, including one that Lindsay completely predicted. I guess you guys talked a lot about this on Friday. We haven't gotten to it this week, but the minute I saw that OnlyFans had said that they weren't going to allow any pornographic material.
Yep.
I said, that's the end of OnlyFans.
Yeah.
That's how that site monetizes itself. And today they announced a complete about face. The ban on pornographic material is over. It lasted 4 days. And now you can go back to doing what you do. And by the way, I thought, Ramona, I don't know what you guys think. You guys are girls, so I should let you both kind of give me your opinion on this. I thought from the beginning this ban was very unfair to sex workers.
Totally.
I think that they work in an industry that carries a big stigma. Mm-hmm. They found a way to monetize what they do. In some of these, Lindsay, didn't you tell me that some of these women are making over $1 million on their OnlyFans sites?
There's some people that have made millions of dollars over the course of a couple months. So, I mean, as soon as they said they were doing this, I was like, there's no way that they'll follow through with it, especially if they're saying it's not effective till October 1st. I said, after thinking about it, I was like, this is how they made their money. This is how they blew up. And not only that, like, they said that the issue was they were having trouble getting backing from banks and stuff. And I was like, what do they need backing from banks from? They take 20% of people's money. If they made billions of dollars last year.
Yeah, I never understood this from the beginning.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like a ploy just to get the banks to... They said that some of the banks weren't taking their wire transfers because of their company was involved in sex work. But it sounds like they figured it out.
All right, now, I'm naive about OnlyFans. I've never been on it, to be honest. But Lindsay, you have an OnlyFans site, but you don't do any like R or X-rated material on it, right?
Correct. The pornography ban would not apply to me.
Okay, so are you able to monetize that site? Like, do people?
Yes.
If I wanted to go on your OnlyFans site, would I have to pay a fee?
Yeah, so people pay a subscription. They pay like $10 a month to look at all my content and communicate with me and all that kind of stuff.
So there are people that use this site without putting up like bikini pictures or naked pictures or whatever people are doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. There's people that do cooking shows on there. They do live streams of like skateboarding events and stuff. Like people do all kinds of stuff that's not nudity.
Yeah.
So it's not all sex work, but I would say it's probably like 90%.
But I get to pick, I get to pick and choose. Like I follow who I want. Right. So if I don't want porn, I never understood this band. If I don't want pornographic material, it's just like, if I don't want to pay for those X-rated channels on my cable system, I don't pay for any of those. So I don't get it.
Correct.
But if I want to, I could. Yeah, which I think choice is always better. So anyway, relief in the world of OnlyFans. You can now put whatever you want on your site, which should have been it. Okay, another story that Chris mentioned off the top. I've been saying for a long time, Momo, that I don't know what the Rams are doing at running back. The minute Cam Akers went down, who was their number one starting running back, I thought, okay, Daryl Henderson, who slides up from number two to number one, looks like he could be a good NFL player, but he doesn't strike me as an every down back. He's a little on the small side. Sure enough, he had a thumb injury 2 days ago in practice. He was back at practice yesterday doing non-contact drills. And this morning, they traded for Sony Michel of the Patriots. What did you think of that move?
Oh, that was a nice move. Like, that's the thing about running back is that there's always going to be really talented guys that you can bring in and you can trade for, you can sign for the, you just sign him for a week or two, see how it works out. Like it's a position where there's more talent than there are jobs and there's not a lot of security. That's why when you're a great running back early in your career and somebody offers you a lot of money, just say yes, because it won't be there later. And so Michel was a good player for the Patriots for a little while. And he was very good at Georgia. Yeah,
and,
he's a really good player.
And I thought, I still think that they should bring in somebody like Adrian Peterson or LeSean McCoy. Why not?
Well, Sony Michel's younger, though. At least he's a younger, more dynamic back.
Right, but I mean, you could still bring in those guys and let them compete like a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When they brought in C.J. Anderson, he was great. It was like the last year of his career. But let's see if this is enough. I'm a big fan of Les Snead, big fan of Sean McVay. I think they both know what they're doing. They obviously know more than me. And let's see if they do anything else. But I thought the Sony Michel thing was a good move. They got him. The Rams are great at trading lower-round draft picks for proven players.
Yeah.
I think they gave up a fifth and a sixth-round pick. Who cares? Let's see if Sony Michel can carry the load for the Rams. I thought it was a good move for LA, and we'll see what happens. All right. On top of that, a bunch of other stuff going on. As I mentioned, Michael will be along shortly. Momo's here. Lindsay's here. We'll cover it all later this hour. Wheel of Questions. We've got Game of Games. We've got Radio Tinder. All the stuff we're used to. We're following that Dodgers Padres series. And coming up, some kid made 20 grand off of a Dorito. I'm going to need somebody to explain this to me. And maybe Jorge or Lindsay can. Next, Mason in Ireland, Ramona in for May, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This week it's Momo in Ireland. Mason and I basically are tag team in the month of August and taking most of it off. And Ramona, because she has a 2-year-old, is nice enough to pinch hit for us every day. And Momo, I saw this story and I still don't get it. Lindsay, I think you're the one that found it. Doritos paid some kid $20,000 for discovering a puffy Dorito. Does anyone understand this story?
No.
Lindsay, do you?
I read it and I was like, what? I don't understand
why they're paying him all this money.
It's a deformed Dorito, for lack of a better term,
right?
Yeah,
it's an inflated Dorito.
All right, so why, Jorge, why does it have value?
So I guess this kid is an entrepreneur, so he was trying to sell it on eBay, but eBay canceled
it. It's a girl, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
Her name is Riley Stewart.
Yeah, 13-year-old.
She's from Australia.
Right. So she tried to sell it on eBay, but due to the food and, you know, policy that they have, it couldn't go, so they canceled it. Because she was getting offers up to $100,000 for this thing. She had it for auction. So Doritos found out about this and gave her $20,000 after she put it on TikTok, and she got like 6.5 million views on her video about this inflated
Dorito.
What
in the world?
That's why, because it's on TikTok.
Yeah. So she made this big publicity stunt for Doritos, and they gave her money for it.
I officially don't understand social media again. This is like the whole thing with the cranberry juice and the skateboard with the Fleetwood Mac song that went crazy. You never know what's going to go viral. So Doritos are normally flat.
They are.
This one was puffy.
Uh-huh.
She took a picture of it, offered to sell it, and Doritos gave her 20 grand.
Right. Because she's an entrepreneur, and then because they want to help her, you know, just keep going in that, you know, business or whatever it is she's trying to do.
Does anyone else understand this?
My question is, when she put it on, because I know people did that, like back when McDonald's had like the BTS meals, they said that there was like a certain chicken nugget that was shaped like some character or something, and someone put it on eBay and they sold it for like, I don't know, $6,000 or something crazy like that. Why do people want to buy deformed food on eBay? Why is that a thing?
I'm right with you. I'm glad I'm not the only one who doesn't get it.
My general take on all of this is that people are bored. Like, we need to get back to going to parks. We need to get back to going to movies. We need to get back to seeing our friends.
Yeah, you're right. I agree.
Like, people are just bored. Like, they're just scanning TikTok. And, you know, I was like playing with Daniel this morning. And so I was texting with a friend or something, and he's like doing the cutest thing, right? We like to make a tent. Like, he jumps on our bed and we make a tent out of the sheets and everything. And he's doing all this cute stuff. And I'm sitting here texting, and he goes, "Mommy, please stop looking at your phone." And I was like, "You're right.
Wow.
You're right."
What a boy, dude.
Yeah. I was like, "You're totally right." I was just texting with like some work person. You know, it wasn't anything interesting. And I was like, "You're totally right, Daniel. Like, I'm going to put down my phone. Thank you." I mean, we're doing like the fun. Why are people on TikTok? There's so many fun things to do.
See, what I don't understand is, a few months ago, there was a guy who, remember, he posted like shrimp tails from cereal? So how do you know what goes viral that is good and what doesn't? It's just, I don't know.
And then there's also all
part.
These fakers. Like, did you see the guy who was in the race at the Braves game the other day and just took like a nosedive right at the end? We watched that thing on Around the Horn the other day. I'm convinced that guy took a dive just so he could go viral. He's right at the end. It's like one of those races. You know, it wasn't like the sausage race in Milwaukee, right, at the Brewers Park. But it was something like that. And the guy's winning, and he's winning, and then like the last like 8 steps, he just like totally takes a dive and falls right at the end. And I'm like, for sure he fell on purpose. Like, he was winning by 5 steps, so he just takes a dive, and now we're talking about it Around the Horn. Like, this has been around forever, John. It was called America's Funniest Home Videos. Remember, everybody used to like
maybe
fake that, but like nobody really got paid on that.
All right. Right? Yeah, I'm at a loss, but it is what it is. Okay, so let me ask you about J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, who won a title with the Lakers a couple of years ago, Lindsay had him in Cleveland. He was on that Cavs team that won it all in 2017. It was J.R. about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, applied to go back to college and get a degree at North Carolina A&T. The main reason he did that is he's an excellent golfer. J.R. Smith has always been an excellent golfer. He's been a 5 or a 6 handicap. So he asked, if I go back to college, would I have any eligibility left since I never went to college the first time? He joined the NBA right out of high school.
Yep.
And the NCAA ruled, yes, since you never competed in college in any sport, you have eligibility. So now he is on the North Carolina A&T golf team. It's a historically black college in, obviously, North Carolina, and he's now on campus. So I actually think that's a really cool story. I think that good for J.R. Smith. He never went to college the first time. Now he's in his mid-30s. He's going to go back. He's going to play golf. He's going to try and get a degree. Good for him. So he was known, J.R., when he was in the NBA as a partier. So it's some guy, you know, and apparently what he was known for primarily was he used to drink a lot of Hennessy.
Yeah, there's this one specific picture of him where he's like chugging a bottle that everyone started calling him. It turned into like a meme. It's one of those big viral things, and people started calling him the Henny God after that. And I guess JR himself said that he doesn't even really like Hennessy, but you know how these things on social media just take off and people called him that for like years.
Okay, so some kid posted a picture and he captioned it, "This man JR really going to go to my college. He's probably off the Henny right now." And JR responded to it and he didn't think it was funny. He goes, "Like that Henny blank, really not funny. Can y'all try a different joke? Not really mad at the kid. Honestly, they're going to say whatever. But the disrespect in these posts, it's truly enough. As a black man in America, you still can't move on from the BS people continue to put in your name. Not one positive post about going to school and trying to better myself. Y'all make it look so weak, corny to inspire my people to want to do better. You consistently bring up post BS." And I took some words out. Ramona, if you're friends with J.R. Smith, if he doesn't bring this up, if he doesn't post that, I don't think this is a story. Instead, now it's a big story. Did he make a mistake bringing it up, or is this exactly the point he's trying to make?
I think it's exactly the point he's trying to make. And I know JR a little bit just from covering
him. I like him,
in the league.
By the way, for what it's
I
worth.
Like him a lot. What people don't understand about JR, he is one of the best athletes who has ever played in the NBA. And I'm not talking about dunking or athletic on the court. He's a great golfer. He was a great baseball player. He was a great football player. Like he could have been Bo Jackson if he wanted to be. He's that good at all these different sports. And he's actually a really smart guy. I just think that he's done some things where he gets labeled as these like J.R. Smith moments, like the same thing that happened to JaVale McGee, right? JaVale made a couple
who,
of
by
plays
the way, is another great guy.
Another great guy, yeah. Really. You know, he's a lot smarter than his reputation would indicate. Like if you talk to him, he's deep and he has a lot to say. It's just sometimes you make some bonehead plays. I mean, I actually had this. I would do stupid stuff when I played too. I used to like I would have this reputation and I was like, I'm not dumb. I just occasionally misread something. Like, what? You know, just kinda, I don't know why that happens, but sometimes you just get these moments where your reputation sticks to you. And there's an image where there's Hennessy, whether it's weed, whether it's, you know, something on the court where what a JaVale dunk on the wrong basket or shoot on the whatever it was, right? And it just sticks to you. And, you know, it's that thing I used to talk about, confirmation bias. You get this idea that somebody is dumb or somebody does stupid things or whatever you want to call it. And everything just becomes about that. It's like that, you know, I don't know when this started, but like somehow I have this, you know, you work for Steve Ballmer, right? When did that start? I have no idea. I think it was when, it doesn't matter what happens. Anytime I tweet anything or say anything about the Clippers, people are like, see, you work for Ballmer. And I'm like, right. What is happening? What? I don't understand.
It's but Mason perpetuates this. We had Joe Buck on the show.
Yeah.
And Joe says he's heard from the fan base of every team in the major leagues.
Yep.
So, including the Cardinals, where he used to work, that he hates their team. And he doesn't hate any team.
And that means you're doing a good job. Like, truthfully, right. Like, I take it as a compliment. That means that I'm fair to both teams in LA, right? Right. That means I'm pretty good. So, but it's also, it just becomes a thing. And so, for me, it's not, you know, I brush it off. I don't care. It's whatever. But for J.R. Smith, like, you're insulting the man's intelligence. You're insulting who he is as a person. He's doing a really good thing with his life right now. He's going back to school. He's competing. He's not just playing golf because he's bored. He's getting a degree. So
you think he posted this knowing the whole time exactly what he was doing?
Yeah, and I think this is like one of those times where if you don't say something and make a big show of, hey, this is a really big deal for me and you guys are really missing the big story, it's not the same confirmation bias, the same memes, the same everything is just going to keep getting recycled. I mean, how many times have we seen the Crying Jordan meme or that Allen Iverson meme? Or that, I mean, there's those same memes that, you know, Jimmy Butler on the scores table when he's exhausted. I see that everywhere.
And the Swaggy, like, P meme with all the question marks P around meme. It.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Like, those memes go around and they follow you everywhere. And so I think that with JR, you have to kind of make a big break where you get attention to do anything to shift that dynamic. So good for him. Yeah. I'm proud of him. It's great. It's great that he's doing this.
All right. Coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions. And Michael Thompson is coming in today. Well, you never know when Michael's going to arrive, but, he'll join the show. It'll be Michael's Game and Game of Games today. Mason in Ireland, Ramona in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace this week. It's time to spin the wheel of questions. The wheel is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car that's just sitting around and not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. All right, Jorge, spin the wheel. Okay. A lot of possibilities with this one. All right. Assuming that the salary would be the same for whatever you choose. So this isn't about money. Let's say you're going to get paid $1 million a year regardless of what you pick. If you could be the CEO of any company, what company would you choose?
Interesting. So I'm getting paid $1 million.
No matter what you pick, your salary is going to be $1 million a year.
And how long am I going to do this for?
Let's say 5 years.
5 years. Okay, so that makes a difference. So if I was just doing it for a year, I'd have a different answer.
Yeah, let's say so. It's going to be a career change.
Career change.
You can be the head. You can be the head of Apple. You can be the head of a movie studio. You can be the head of a sports league. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. I think I want to be the head of a sports league. I think it'd be fun.
I have great respect for, and I think he's the best commissioner in sports, but I want Adam Silver's gig.
That'd be awesome.
I could fix, and by the way, the first person I would hire, Minister of Common Sense, Michael Thompson. That's my first hire. And the first thing we would do, okay, it would be we would immediately, on the first day, eliminate replay until the last 2 minutes of every game. You know what else we do? Get rid of that stupid illegal defense rule. Mm. And other than that, I just think it's such a fun league, and it's the players and the owners get along, and it's got so many bright stars, and it's got so many bright young stars, Ramona, that I think the game's just going to continue.
I also want to know all the dirt. Because I think Adam Silver hears it from both sides.
Of course.
Right? He hears from the owners who complain, hears from the players who complain, hears from everybody who's got grievance. I want to know all of that.
Well, something we're going to get to in the next segment
is
one of the things that he hears about all the time is competitive balance.
Yeah.
Should you allow certain teams to make more money than other teams, or should you pool the money?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I think that if you have a team, you should be able to monetize it any way you want.
Yeah.
And by the way, last year the Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA title. They're in one of the smallest markets in the NBA. Lindsay, you can be the CEO of any company in the world. What are you taking?
I would probably go with like Spring Films or one of those like production companies that makes documentaries, because that's like my dream job. Like someday, somewhere. I love like storytelling and just the art of documentary. I know that everyone makes fun of me because that's all I watch, but that's all I listen to in podcasts. And like, I have so many ideas about like things that would make great documentaries. And I just love to tell stories like through that medium. So that's probably what I would pick.
Jorge, I've actually written down what I think you're going to say. Do you know what you're going to say?
I think I know what he's going to say too.
Is it soccer related?
It is. I wrote down you want to be head of the EPL.
No. I was actually going to go something a little more broad. I wanted to be the CEO of Adidas, like the company who designs the kits.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I always look forward to like the new kits when it comes to soccer, like the new jerseys, the new, you know, sweats or whatever they have. Like, I just like all that Adidas stuff on soccer or whatever they put together.
By the way, do you guys know this? I just learned this recently, that Adidas is short for something.
Oh, no.
Well, it's not really. It's actually, so there's a common myth that it's short for an acronym for something. That's All Day I Dream About Sex, but it's actually
No, All Day I Dream About Sports is what I heard.
Well, no, it's actually for after Adi Dassler.
Adi Dassler, yes.
Yeah, the head of Adidas. I used to be like a huge, huge Adidas freak when I was in high school. That's the only reason I know that. I did like a biography about it.
All right, did you guys know this? The brother of Adidas owns Puma. So they're two company brothers, I guess.
Oh, and they're cool. Competing.
Yep.
Wow. Now, if you were going to say, would I do this for like a year? I would pick something overseas. I would pick something really cool. So do you ever watch, have you seen Call My Agent? It's one of those films. It's one of those French shows. It's about an agency in Paris and they represent, you know, talent overseas, like just French actors and actresses. It's really funny. I would urge any, there's like five seasons. I totally binge watched it. It's really fun and delightful. I think I would go work over in Spain or France or Italy or something, just like pick some awesome company over there and run that for you.
Well, how fun would it be to be like the head of Netflix and you could greenlight anything that you found even remotely interesting?
That'd be fun.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, Apple TV, that'd be cool.
A friend of mine, a guy I play golf with, was one of the first employees, like one of the first five employees hired by Jeffrey Katzenberg and Meg Whitman to run Quibi. And he said in the beginning, it was really, really fun. You know, obviously that thing flamed out. But he said when you basically have a blank chalkboard and you can create any, like you can come, anybody can bring you projects, any idea they have. And if you like it, you just say, okay, go for it. And he said in the beginning, there was just this unbelievable energy about it.
But which, by the way, I know that we talked about this happening months ago when they announced it, but I've been really big on the Roku channel lately because they bought all of like the failed Quibi stuff. Like anything that was licensed or made for Quibi is now owned by Roku and they have it for free on the Roku channel. And there's a lot of really good stuff on there.
And by the way, Ramona, one of the things that Quibi did, I don't know if you ever saw it. It wasn't as detailed as your 30 for 30 podcast, but they did a documentary called Blackballed about Donald Sterling, about all the things you covered in your podcast.
It's so good.
And they got Doc Rivers to talk. They got Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul was one of the EPs of it. And so that's one reason to check out Roku, Lindsay, is you can watch the Clipper documentary.
That's so all the Quibi shows are on Roku now. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're free. And Quibi, you had to pay for it.
Yeah, and what's interesting on the, I think, thing with Quibi, two things happened. It launched right in the middle of the pandemic, and it was also only on mobile. So there's this idea that people would watch it because everybody watched things on their phone. But
and then nobody went out.
Yeah, and then nobody went out. And also it was on your phone, but you couldn't watch it on your TV. Like you couldn't just log in from your TV and watch the same stuff.
Yeah, one day they'll do a documentary on why Quibi didn't work. The main reason, no matter what they say, is the pandemic. Mm-hmm. They based it on the fact that everybody would want to watch stuff on planes, trains, and automobiles, and then nobody went anywhere because the pandemic hit. The other big mistake they made was you couldn't, Lindsay,
you couldn't share anything.
Or
you couldn't give people like links like, hey, check this out. Like, it
like
was
when
not
I was
shareable
watching the Clipper thing, I wanted to screen share it on my big screen. So Lisa could watch it with me, and I couldn't do it. I had to watch it on my phone. So that they made that mistake too. But I you know, it'd be fun to be CEO of something like that, you know, like an entertainment company. It'd be fun. You know, you could be a government leader. You could be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. That'd be fun for a year.
No, it wouldn't.
I don't think anything with law is fun. Like, I literally, yeah. I took one law class when I was at Stanford, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, but you're making a difference. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. I mean, everybody would. That's why these Wheel of Questions things are interesting, because everybody would answer it differently. Okay, so. Coming up, our friend Bob Nightingale has an article out in USA Today that says baseball is being ruined by one thing, and if they don't change it, the sport is dead. I'll tell you what it is next. Momo Informe, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Mason in Ireland rolls on. Ramona in for Mace this week. And our buddy Bob Nightingale, who's been on the show many, many times. Hey, Steve. Hey, John. Bob has written an article that's getting a lot of buzz in the USA Today. And he calls it, it's about the Great Divide. He says there is a great divide in Major League Baseball, and it involves competitive balance. He points out that the Dodgers have a current payroll of $261 million, the highest in the league, more than double the total of 15 other teams. The Dodgers' payroll is $284. It'll be the first time since 2017 that they'll be subjected to a luxury tax. On the other side of the ledger, the Pirates have a major league low payroll of $49.1 million.
Indians not far behind with $53 million, by the way. Yeah.
He also points out that the Dodgers are paying Trevor Bauer, who's not playing, $38 million, which is almost as much as the entire Pirate team makes. And he says that this is a huge problem and it's going to ruin baseball. I love Bob Momo, but I think he is absolutely full of crap. What do you think?
I mean, I don't like what's happening to a lot of those teams, but generally speaking, spending more money doesn't equate to wins. Just ask the Padres. Like, look what's happening to the Padres this year. Ask the Phillies. Ask the Angels. Like, there's 20 of teams that who was in the World Series last year? The Tampa Bay Rays.
That was my,
don't
that
spend
was
anything.
My point. Tampa Bay is ranked 26 out of 32 teams. 26. Actually, it's out of 30. 26 out of 30 teams in payroll. And by the way, the Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA title, and they're one of the smallest markets in the league. If you look at, like, the Oakland A's, bottom 10, the Oakland A's are in the mix every single year because Billy Beane is really smart. I talked about the Tampa Bay Rays. Seattle's competitive this year. They're ranked 25th. The bigger problem in baseball and really in any sport is if you don't try to win. For example, the Orioles have lost 19 games in a row. They don't have any good players. They don't have any good management. They're not trying to win. They're just tanking to try and get draft picks. I think tanking is a much bigger problem than payroll disparity. Don't you?
I do too. And I think, I actually think the salary ceiling is a bigger problem than the salary floor in baseball. So I think the thing that ruins baseball are these 13-year, $400 million deals that even for the best players don't work out very well. And then it just creates a lot of lopsided trades, a lot of weird things where the middle class of baseball really gets squeezed. The upper class, the top 10 to 20 players are getting way overpaid. And then the lower level, which are usually your young stars who are on team-friendly deals, they make far too little for far too long. Like, the whole salary structure needs to change.
Right. But my point is that salary structure doesn't prohibit you from winning. The Chicago White Sox are right in the middle, and they're in first place. The Cincinnati Reds, if the season ended today, are below league average, and they're in the playoffs. The Washington Nationals just won the title like 2-3 years ago, and their payroll is just above the league average. It's not how much you pay. The Dodgers went years and years and years without winning a World Series. You know, they went from 1988 to 2020. By the way, if you want to weigh in on any of this or anything we're talking about, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. But this is such a red herring that teams that if you spend more money, it guarantees you're going to win. It doesn't. Yeah. It just doesn't. I could give you example over example over example. And you've got to be smart. If you have smart people, Bill Belichick's really smart. That's why he's been, and you know, why he has 6 Super Bowls and he's been to 10 of them in the same amount of time that Lindsay's Cleveland Browns have been to 0. And they had Bill Belichick. They fired him. That's what matters. Who's running your team? And by the way, there's changes of life. Like I mentioned earlier, I love Les Snead and Sean McVay, who run the Rams. The reason is they always go for it. So does Rob Pelinka. He always goes for it. The Laker team that you're going to see this year isn't built for the next 10 years. It's built for the next 10 months. They want to win the title right now. They want to maximize LeBron's window. And same with the Rams. They know that they've got this group of players together right now, that they've got the best defensive player in football in Aaron Donald, and they were able to put the best corner in the league, Jalen Ramsey, with them. That's why they went out and traded Jared Goff, who had been to a Super Bowl 2 years ago. They're going for it now. If you want to be the Orioles, you can be the Orioles. You can tank and lose 19 games in a row and try and draft. I mean, it worked for the Cubs. The Cubs, like, stunk for 3 years. It worked for the Astros. They stunk for 3 years. But that's not the only way you can do it. There are a lot of teams that never go down. The Spurs were in the playoffs every year for 20 years because they had the same guys, Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford, running their team. This, if you spend more money than anybody else, you have a huge advantage, is just not right. Tampa Bay is ahead of the Yankees and the Red Sox. Go ahead.
Well, I used to have these conversations with Mark Walter, the owner of the Dodgers, at spring training. Like, we'd, you know, and one time I was doing a story with them, and I said, you know, this is before they won. If there was a way to guarantee you'd win the World Series, like if there was a number, so let's say it's $200 million or $300 million, $500 million, would you do it? He's like, of course, if you told me I could spend $500 million and we'd guarantee we'd win the World Series, we would spend $500 million. But that's not how it works. Like, you can't just spend your way to a championship. You have to be really smart. And a lot of the things that I think the Dodgers have done really well, the reason why they contend year in and year out, is when they make those trades, they trade the right prospects. Like, they have a feeling about, okay, we can trade this guy and maybe he'll be good, or maybe he won't, but he's not going to be the future star. Like, they didn't end up trading Corey Seager, did they? They didn't end up trading Will Smith. They didn't end up trading Julio Urias.
They probably should have traded. They probably should have traded Gavin Lux, and they didn't.
Yeah, probably should have. And you know what? Maybe they will now. But I think that they are in a place where, you know, they just have a good eye for which prospects to keep and which you can trade. Now, they traded Alex Verdugo. He's been a good player. They traded Jock Peterson. Been a good player, but not the superstars. And they trade just enough to get the impact players they need for those stretch runs. And then the guys that they have invested in, like the Dodgers have done one giant contract. It was for Mookie Betts. They waited. They didn't get Rendon. They tried, but they didn't get him. They tried on Bryce Harper, but they never broke the bank for those guys. And when they had a chance to sign Mookie Betts, that was the guy. And I think they made the right call. Like in the NBA, it always comes down to the same thing, John. Who is your max player? Every team has a max player. Do you have the right one?
Think of it this way, too. Justin Turner, anybody could have had him. He was literally on the scrap heap. Chris Taylor.
Max Muncy.
Anybody could have. Max Muncy was sitting on his couch at home. You know, it's easy to point to the Dodgers payroll and say that's why they won it. All three of those guys I just mentioned, any team could have picked up for the minimum. You could have had Muncy. You could have had Taylor. You could have had Justin Turner. Nobody picked him up. There's nothing stopping anybody else from making the trades that the Dodgers make every year. And I just think this is nothing against Bob because I really like him, but it just doesn't, this whole theory of the great divide is the reason why the Dodgers spend more money than everybody else. So that's the only reason they're in it. Really? Really? How did Tampa Bay get to the World Series last year? They have the fourth from the bottom payroll. And by the way, look at the standings right now. The Yankees and the Red Sox, who do nothing but spend money, are looking up at the Rays. The Rays are in first place again. It happens every year. Here's Jim in Santa Barbara. Hey, Jim, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, Jim.
Good. Hey, yeah, so I hear you. I'm a longtime Padre fan, so I'm a little sore losing out on Scherzer and that deal. So this is maybe a little bit of sour grapes, but there's definitely – I mean, how many World Series have the Dodgers won? How many have the Yankees won? And how many have the Padres won? So there's absolutely a correlation between how much you spend, how good of players you have, how good a team you have, and how many World Series you've won. Absolutely. The Tampa Bays are one-offs. The Oakland A's are one-offs. The White Sox are one-offs. There's a huge correlation.
How do you explain? Do you explain the St. Louis Cardinals? They win every year.
Well, are they in the World Series every year?
Well, they're in the World Series more than as much as the Dodgers are.
If they were in the National League West, which you got the Giants and the Dodgers, who are always there. Padres never spent anything. Never been there. They, you know, had the pitching worked out this year. Maybe they're there this year, but they're, you know, this is an all or nothing, I feel like, this next couple of years for the Padres. If they don't produce and get a World Series ring, they're done.
I would argue, you know what, Jim, I would argue that you're being short-sighted there. Think about this.
Yep.
Their best player, Tatis, is, what is he, 22?
He's awesome, too.
Yeah, Machado is locked in for the next 8 years. He's a great player. They just traded for an all-star from Pittsburgh. Their pitching staff now is not that old. They don't have a lot of old. Like Blake Snell's going tonight. He's actually been pretty good for them. They just, for whatever reason this year, they just hit the skids midseason. They were in first place, and you know this if you're a Padre fan, at the end of March, or end of April. They were in first place. And then the Giants, who, by the way, the Giants have a lower payroll than the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets, the Astros, the Red Sox, the Angels, the Padres. The Giants, just nobody can catch them. So, I mean, I don't think San Diego is in a two-year window. I think that they've actually been pretty smart about what they've done. Thank you for the phone call.
I would say? Here's the thing. The Dodgers spent all this money. Their new owners took over in 2012?
Yep.
I think it's 2012. And they didn't win the World Series for 8 years.
And they won nothing the division, but spend.
They did nothing but spend. They made all these moves. They would always get to the playoffs. They won the NL West, and it took 8 years to finally put it together. So to me, the Padres have just started doing that. Like, you got to give that time. Like, and by the way, I only know this because Blake Snell is on every one of my fantasy baseball teams. He has not been good this year.
No, but he's been good this month. He's been the one pitcher this month that's been okay. You know, they're under 500 for the month.
Yeah, he was the Cy Young winner, and I'm like, oh, man, he's going to be great in the National League. He was great in the World Series. Drafted him in every league. His ERA is, like, close to 5.
Yeah, that's what's killed them and why they fired the pitching coach is that their ERA is double that of the Dodgers over the last month. And again, one of the reasons we're talking about this is Dodgers-Padres tonight in San Diego. Walker Buehler, who's a candidate to win the Cy Young this year, going up against Blake Snell, who pitched an unbelievable game in the World Series, and Kevin Cash took him out for no reason. Those are the two pitchers going head-to-head tonight, 7 o'clock in San Diego. Michael Thompson expected to join us before the end of the show. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.